Before we get to episode 158, I'd like to ask for a small favor. If you're doing any shopping at Amazon.com this holiday season, and I'm guessing you are, and even if it's not the holiday season, please use my affiliate link. ICan'tSeeYou.com/Amazon. That'll take you to the Amazon homepage. Do your shopping and everything else you normally do at Amazon. Check out, pay. It doesn't cost you anything more, and I earn a small commission. I really do appreciate it. Again, that's ICan'tSeeYou.com/Amazon. Thank you so much.
From Studio B in Swarthmore, this is the I Can't See You podcast with David. It's like blind people for dummies.
Hello there, and welcome to episode 158 of the I Can't See You podcast. My name is David, at David Benj on all the socials. I really do appreciate you joining me for this episode, and I've got a few things to talk about. I've got a lot of little things and then a couple of bigger things. First up, I think it's kind of funny. I mentioned before that I do have some trouble sometimes when I'm doing interviews. I say you know an awful lot. I mean, an awful lot. Too many times. I was listening to another podcast, if you ever listened to Amy Porterfield. She had a guy on a couple of weeks ago whose last name is Love, and I'll tell you a story about that in a second. I don't remember his first name. But he is a voice coach, and he's helped Bradley Pitt to sing. I don't think there's anybody to help me sing, but he also helps people with speaking. And he had mentioned that you really shouldn't smile when you're speaking, because it makes the corners of your mouth go up and then it makes your pitch higher. Now, I was always told to smile when you speak because you can hear that. When I have my headphones on and I get ready to hit record, I can't help but smile when I do this. And it's kind of funny. I never realized that. So if my voice is a little higher, you know, I'm smiling. So I just think that's funny, and I'd never realized that until just now when I hit the record button. A couple other things to talk about. First, going back to his last name is Love. Of all of my grandparents, the only family line that I can go back past, first great-grandparent, and even on my dad's side, I can only go to my grandparents. I can't even get past that. But my grandmother, her name was Pauline Ellerby. I can go back and trace all the way back into the middle 1600s or early 1600s, I believe it's with her. So I can go to all these different, see all these different last names for the different great-grandparents. Of course, every time you go out a level, you know, you keep doubling your your grandparents. And one of the last names is Love. So when I hear a last name that I know is associated with me, I always wonder, I wonder if I'm related to that person. I don't know if I am or not, but I just thought it was funny. Just like every time I see Jennifer Lopez, I thought, I wonder if I'm related to her. My great-grandmother's name on my maternal grandfather, her name was Tomasa Lopez. So I always say, you know, she's my cousin. I don't think she really is, though, because she can sing and I can't. So, you know, did it skip? I don't know. I often wonder, you know, with my Cuban roots, I often wonder if I could make cigars, and maybe one day I'll try. So that was the story with Love. A couple of quick things before we get into the two main topics today. The first one is another funny story. When we were younger, and it might have been probably back when we had kids or right before we had kids, we bought some life insurance policies, and I don't remember if they had, they were only, you know, term, so it was only 10 years or something like that. Around 12 years ago, 10 years ago, something like that, 2009 it was actually, or 2008, back when I was still Fat Dave, we got life insurance policies on Liz and I, and they were fairly substantial. And every time the bill came, I always told Liz, who has always handled our checkbook, I shouldn't say always, when we got married, I obviously did my own back before that, but she's done it for the most part since we've been married. I always told her, look, I don't know what is going to happen in this world ever, but I do know one thing. We are both going to die. I said, don't miss paying for these things because we're going to die. And don't you want a couple of bucks to help do whatever you want? Liz doesn't want to be buried. You know, she wants to go into something else. You know, I don't really care what happens to me. I'll be dead. In fact, I'm hoping that my body can be donated to science. I mean, who knows what they'll find out when they look at me. The other day, she said, don't yell at me. I have something to tell you. She said, do you want to know before or after dinner? And she was busy making dinner and, you know, Ziggy sitting next to her waiting for his broccoli that he always gets when Liz cuts the broccoli up for me. And she gives him one piece and then I take him in the living room and I throw him, you know, probably between half a dozen and a dozen pieces of broccoli, which he loves doing and he gets all excited for. It's actually pretty funny. One day I'll video it and I'll put it up somewhere. I said, just tell me now, what's the story? She said, I didn't pay the life insurance. And just to note, our policies are at different companies. Because I was Fat Dave, I guess at the time, my friend Chris Doherty had to shop it around. And at the time, I think I weighed 225 or so pounds, 230 pounds. I don't remember exactly what, but I was fat. In the F-A-T word, not the P-H-A-T word. And I probably should have gone back after I lost the weight over the next year or two to see if it would be less of a premium. But we didn't. And we were happy to pay that because we knew there was going to be a payday once I dropped. And I said, well, which policy? You know, she tells me she didn't pay the insurance. And I said, well, which one? Yours or mine? Because I'm frantic because, you know, I got nothing going on after after Liz goes. I got nothing. So I need that. I need that to, you know, we get our medical insurance through her. And, you know, that's going to be expensive without her. So she said, it's yours. I said, oh, that doesn't really affect me. It affects you. There might be more crying, but it doesn't affect me because I'll be dead. And, you know, we went back and forth and she said there is a way to get it reinstated, not 100% that it happens, but she did all that. So we'll see. We haven't found out yet. I'm hoping it is because, again, it's, you know, although if you see excessive tears at the memorial service for me, you'll know it didn't go through. So that's my insurance story. And it's, you know, the issue is, you know, she forgot to pay it. It's something that's paid quarterly, not monthly. So, you know, the bill got filed, you know, lower down in the to pay file. And that's to pay, not to pay, you know, not the thing you wear on your head for bald guys, which I would never do. However, to pay tape is great, super strong, double-sided tape. If you ever need to hem pants or curtains or whatever. We used to sell it in salon supplies and interiors. It was great for stuff like that. Don't use it to put stuff on the wall so you'll never get it off. Obviously, it has to adhere to a sweaty, bald head. So I'm telling you, if you ever need something really strong, like I said, for hems or whatnot, that is a great, it is great. And we found that out when we bought that business, Salon Supplies and Interiors. So it got, you know, it got pushed down in the bills to be paid. And because it was quarterly, she wasn't always going through all of them. She would get to, you know, and it just, you know, just got overlooked. So I told her just, you know, from now on, make sure you just pay them when they come in and don't worry about, you know, timing it. And hopefully she will, because I don't want her to miss paying the one on her life, because just like me, she is also going to die, just like you too. And I'm sorry if you never heard that before, that you will also die one day, but you will. And you can blame me. I'm the messenger, but I'll take that blame. So that's the insurance story. So let's have a update on the fantasy sports. I had a great week. I won both in hockey and in football. Now, the football didn't matter so much because I was kind of cemented in. I shouldn't say completely cemented in at the third, as the third seed. It would have taken Montreal Beavers whole entire team to go down in a plane crash. And obviously, since they play on different NFL teams, that wasn't going to happen. I guess the way COVID is ravaging every sports league these days, I guess that could have happened, but it won't help me now. I ended up winning. I beat the commissioner, Brian. And fortunately, he made the playoffs, though, because everything else fell into place for him. I guess had he beaten me, we would have been tied. So he might have been 3-4. I don't remember how many points he had. But Montreal Beavers finished 1. He ended up winning. And Frank had texted me. Frank Pug Posse finished 2nd because he lost. He had a 1-game lead, but he lost. And he ended up tied with... I think he ended up tied with me record-wise. But again, he has way more points than I do. And I had a very low amount of points, but I also had... Every time I played somebody, they had, I guess, not great weeks for the most part. And that's how I ended up having such a good record. Although I started off 6-0 and then only won 3 games the rest of the way. So do the math. I guess I went 3-5 the rest of the way. So I'm in the playoffs and I play Where's Huddles this week in the playoffs. And I'm a little nervous because I have Delvin Cook and Minnesota is one of those teams where there's COVID going nuts. So, you know, because they play on Monday night, I'm a little concerned that, you know, already my backup is out. That was Alexander Mattison. I'm concerned that, you know, what am I going to do if that guy on Monday morning has COVID, you know, and now I don't have anybody else to put in. So I did pick up another guy from Minnesota. I can't even pronounce his name. I was listening to a podcast and they recommended picking up that guy. So I did. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully Cook plays and runs wild and I win and move on to play either Pug Posse or Montreal Beavers. I'm guessing I'd play Pug since I'm the 3 seed and Frank and I will battle. And it won't really be a battle. He's going to kill me. Again, unless COVID helps me out. And in hockey, I won. So I'm on top, first place there. Again, I have like the 4th or 5th highest amount of points. So, you know, if I lost another game, somebody would be tied or record-wise would be tied with me, but I'd be in 2nd or 3rd or whatever because that's how far down I am, you know, in points. But again, I find ways to win. I'm playing a guy this week that has the most points in the league by a long shot. I think he has like 400 points more than me. However, COVID is running amok in the NHL as well, so that may end up helping me, assuming my guys get less COVID than his guys, but we'll see. We'll see how it is. I'm trailing now because I made a change in my lineup a couple days after I had set some other stuff, and I guess it all reverted. It was weird because I knew I had played players on the Flyers and a couple other teams that played, but when I went to check, you know, they were sitting on the bench. So I don't know what happened there. But I'm obviously a little more careful now. But I, you know, if I lose by less than 25 points, I'm going to be pretty mad because that cost me. And again, you know, could have been user error, could have been on me. But I don't know. So I'm winning. I'm in 1st place. Hooray in hockey. You know, it's a long season. It might be longer with COVID. So we'll see. So I have 2 things to talk about, main items. Our Keystone Chapter Christmas party / anniversary party was on Saturday, and there were a lot of moving parts to it. And before you think, oh my gosh, it was terrible. No, it was actually great. It was great. The beginning made it a little hairy. Liz usually takes me in. The train schedule is just not convenient to go in. I'd have to leave. I basically have to wait outside of the museum for about an hour to go in because the train would get me there that early. And obviously I could walk around. We've been meeting at the Penn Museum, which is a great place. If you're ever in Philadelphia, it's a great place to go. They've got a lot of old cool stuff in there, which I think I've mentioned before, from Egypt and Italy and China and Japan and things like that. And it is just awesome to go and see all that stuff that they have there. We don't usually walk through the museum other than, you know, I will walk through if I'm helping somebody get to the front door because we meet, you know, right off of the side door. So it was very hairy the other day. Liz was going to take me in because we had to run and pick up some pretzels. Lisa had gotten a donation from Philly Pretzel Factory for 20 soft pretzels, which, you know, were awesome, and everybody loved those. I didn't have one. Liz had one, though. That was her payment for driving me in. And she actually stayed for a little bit to help get the pizza. We had pizza and stuff, and I'll get into that in a second. So we had to go pick up the pretzels, and then we were asked to, after we get the pretzels, if we could pick up a couple. They're older, so, you know, we thought, okay, yeah, it's in between the pretzel place and the museum. So we made our way into Philadelphia from here in Swarthmore, and we get to the pretzel place. We're close to the pretzel place, and the street that they're on is closed. So we had to go around the block and find a place. And, you know, we're kind of pressed for time. We don't want to be too early or too late, because I had to help somebody get from the train station over by the museum to the museum. And I wanted to make sure I was there for them. We get the pretzels, and we're on schedule pretty good. I then get off the phone and call the person we're supposed to pick up, and they decide they're not going to go because, you know, they weren't feeling great. But we still had to stop by because we had some of their, you know, we still have some Keystone Chapter T-shirts that we have to distribute, and they each had two. So we dropped the T-shirts off because we were just around the corner from them. All right, maybe it was a couple blocks. But we do that, and then we, you know, head off to the museum, which everything was working great until we get to the museum early, or the museum area. We get there, and there is all sorts of construction, and there has been construction over the last, you know, year there. They're building a walkway from the train station, which is right near the museum and, you know, the University of Pennsylvania, where the museum is part of, from the train to a couple of different buildings there on Penn's campus, one of which will be the museum. So it'll be nice. You'll be able to go from the train station right to the museum, or right to, it might even be the hospital. I'm not sure. Kevin from the museum told us, but I don't remember. And I don't know how long it's going to be until it's done, but it's, you know, it's really messed up that area. And as I've mentioned before, there's nothing worse for someone who is blind or visually impaired than to change something that is already routine. If I know I can walk down this street and hang a left at the corner, and then walk a little bit and then hang another left and get there, I'm great. But then if you put some barrier there, which I don't know that is going to be there, it makes it tricky to get to. So there were a couple of things. We went to park, and the parking garage where you go in is blocked off because they're doing construction right above where you pull in. We ask a construction guy, where do we go to go into the parking garage? He says, follow that guy. You know, I just told them how to go. So we follow this person, and I said, well, what if this person isn't good at following directions? We're going to end up who knows where. And again, I have to jump out at some point to help some folks get off the train and get from the train to the museum. So fortunately, they knew where to go, and we followed them, and all was good. We ended up parking. In fact, parking was free because of the nonsense that was going on there. So that was cool. I don't remember. Parking isn't too expensive over there. I want to say it's like less than $10 to park there. And I'm guessing during football games, when Penn plays, not that a whole bunch of people drive in, but, you know, it's right across the street from Franklin Field. I'm guessing during the Penn relays, this place is packed, and they probably charge a lot more. But we parked, and we go into the museum after we were told that the museum side entrance wasn't open, or the east entrance, I think they call it. We were told we had to go to the main entrance. But I said, you know, to Liz, I said, let's just try the side entrance because it doesn't look like it's blocked off. So let's just try. And of course, we went right in. It was a construction worker that said you couldn't go in there. And it was a construction worker that was trying to help Harriet and Simon find the front door, which they walked right by because we stopped and asked them what was going on. And, you know, Harriet told us, they're just taking us to the main entrance. Well, when we talked to them, they were right at the main entrance. They just had to go up the steps to go to it. And then we saw them when we had to do the loop after we tried to park the first time. You know, we saw them on a different street where they shouldn't have been. So we go into the room, we get settled, and then I get ready to go back out because, again, I have to go to the train station. Now, this I thought was very cool. There's two exits from Penn Medicine Station. And if you stand on the corner of South Street and Convention Ave, you know, it's kind of an easy way to get to either one. The exit that's on South Street is the easier one because basically you come out of the train station, hang a left, and you just walk down across Convention Ave, and then you have maybe a quarter of a block to walk, and then you walk down the driveway, and you can go right in the east entrance. And our meeting room there is right off of the main entrance or the east entrance, so it's very easy and convenient to go to if you come in that way. But of course, unlike the last time I met these folks, where they came out that entrance, they came out further down on Convention Ave. But while I was waiting before the train arrived, I was standing there at the corner, and basically, there's South Street there is a bridge that crosses over the rail tracks and then across the Schuylkill River. So I'm waiting there and I'm looking towards the station, listening for a train. Well, someone came up to me and said, "Hey, do you need some help? I can help you out." And I said, "No, I'm waiting for someone." And I said, "I don't know which exit of the train station they're going to come out of, so I'm splitting the difference. You know, I don't know if they're coming out, you know, this exit over here," and I pointed, and I knew they weren't blind, so that's why I pointed, "or this other entrance down Convention Ave." And he said, "Oh, okay." I said, "Thanks for asking, though." And he went about his business and crossed the street, and that was that. But I thought that was very nice. So I'm waiting there, and I hear the train pull in, so I rush to the convention or the South Street exit, and I go down and go as far in as I can, and I just start calling out for these folks. And it turns out there was only one of them. There was a problem with SEPTA for the other one, and she was unable to make it. But so I'm calling out for these folks, hoping they would hear me. I don't know how far down they got out of the train and so forth and so on. Well, of course, they didn't hear me. So when I saw the train pull out and I didn't hear anybody coming my way, I went out of the exit and then around the corner and went back down to the other entrance on Convention Ave. And I see I see a couple of people standing there, and the person I was going to meet, Jim, is fairly tall. He's taller than me. I don't know how tall he is, but he's taller than me. And then I see someone shorter, and I'm thinking that it was Harriet. So I say, "Hey, what are you doing here?" Well, it wasn't Harriet. So, Jim thanked this person. It was just another traveler that was helping him out, you know, get out of the train station. And I said, after we walked away, I said, "Oh, I thought that was Harriet. That's why I asked her what she was doing here." I walked with him, and we went back into the museum, and we got started with the meeting. But the meeting was an abbreviated meeting, and then, like I said, it was our holiday party and our anniversary party, so we did a Pollyanna, and it was just, you know, you couldn't tell I was smiling because I had a mask on. Everybody, you know, they have, you know, masking rules there, which is fine other than when we were eating. But, like, there's a lot going on during the meeting. You know, there's, besides the in-person stuff going on, we also had a Zoom component so folks could join from home because not everybody was comfortable meeting there. And then there's also some audio that's played. The secretary's report is read by a screen reader, actually, not from a person. And then there's a what's called the presidential release, which is the president of the NFB, you know, each month does this release and basically says what's going on with the organization and so forth and so on. But after all that stuff is done, we get into, you know, the holiday stuff and the anniversary stuff. And, you know, we had ordered pizza, and there was Stacy brought cupcakes, and we got the pretzels that Lisa had gotten us from Philly Pretzel Factory at 1532 Sampson Street in Philadelphia with the spicy mustard, which everybody loves. And, you know, so we had that. And then other people, one person made a cheesecake and other people bought chips. Although someone was supposed to bring small bags of chips, but they weren't there. They didn't come to the meeting. So it's a good thing somebody else had brought chips. So we had plenty of, there was plenty of stuff. There was plenty of food. We had 7 pizzas, which we had to wait for. And again, there was confusion because, you know, there's the 2 entrances. And it turns out the pizza guy came in the east entrance, not the main entrance. And Liz was waiting up by the main entrance because sometimes they don't always bring the pizza in. Sometimes they will just leave them by the door, which sounds crazy to me. But Liz is waiting at the front, and I am going to go take her some money so she could give the guy a tip. And as I'm going, Harriet says they're at the main entrance at the security desk. I said, okay, well, Liz is up there. You know, she said, would you take them tip money? And I said, yeah. So one of the other folks in the meeting, her name is Lily, asked if she should come and help. And I said, sure. You know, I don't know how difficult it's going to be to bring in 7 pizzas, but you know, they were big boxes and whatnot. So, you know, I said, do you want to grab my arm? Maybe we'll go a little faster. I mean, I don't drag these people around. I had to slow down. I had to slow down for Jim though, because he has some, you know, he has some bad legs, bad knees, I guess. And, but Lily is younger and she moved a little quicker. Again, it's one of the rooms that we have to maneuver through. It's not a straight shot. And I actually, you know, bumped into a couple of things here and there. And again, like I mentioned last week, the cane is what's supposed to stop you from doing that. But, you know, I was walking a little too fast probably. And I told somebody else that one day will get me into a little bit of trouble probably. So we get to Liz and there's no pizza guy. And I said, you know, you haven't seen anybody? And, you know, we call Harriet and Harriet is talking to Lily and said, oh no, they're not at this entrance, they're at the other entrance. So Liz rushes to the other entrance. I give her the money for tip. And by the time she gets there, you know, the guy's gone. So the guy didn't get a tip. Sorry about that, pizza guy. But we get the pizzas and, you know, we go back into the room. And Harriet and Lisa, who have, you know, gloves on to distribute it and some of the other stuff, you know, are starting with that. Liz ends up, you know, heading home because at this point it's, you know, 12:30, 12:45. She wanted to get home and, you know, get Ziggy out. And, you know, because he'd been in the cage for however long that is. And it's a long time for him again because I'm usually home each day. But all this stuff is going on before the, you know, people are asking me questions, you know, hey, how much is this? Here's my money for that. So people are handing me money and, you know, it's hard to keep track of that while also trying to pay attention to the meeting. And when it was my turn for the Pollyanna, when not when I was giving the gift and I had someone named Livette, I gave her that and some other people went around and they went. And then the person who had me was going and people are coming up and asking me questions. So I didn't hear everything that everybody was saying because my gift, and you could put in what you wanted. I just wanted, you know, a donation to the Keystone chapter. And the limit was $25. And here's my reasoning for this. And I always, you know, I like doing the Pollyanna thing. I do. But when it's like it's been the last couple of years and we've done it through an online, last year we didn't have the meeting in person. So everything was online. So basically I got a gift card for somebody for Amazon. And I think I got the same thing. So it's basically like paying for your own card. And I just didn't want to do that again. So I thought what a good gift that would be if I just did a donation. And then it's at least I'll feel like I'm getting something for it. And, you know, so people were saying stuff. I have no idea what they said. Because people are asking me questions while, you know, I'm, you know, people are talking, you know, about me and about what I picked. And, you know, the person who got me, her name was Donna. She said, hopefully everything is made out correctly. You know, I had Lisa, help me. And then I told Liz, I said, when I got home, I said to, you know, and I handed her the check. I said, you know, hopefully the check is made out okay. Lisa helped her. And Liz said, I helped her. I said, oh, okay. Well, then I know it's paid out correctly. So, you know, just all sorts of stuff going on. But it was so much fun. You know, we had 28 people there. And it was just nice being together with everyone again. And, you know, it was a lot to do. And by the time all was said and done, I had just, as we're leaving the meeting, I had walked around 10,900 steps. I never sat down. And part of that was on me. I just, you know, I don't like to sit down. And, you know, because then, you know, my legs get stiff. And walking Jim back over to the train station, you know, he was saying, you know, we walked very slowly because he said sitting there for that amount of time, he got stiff. And, you know, he has some, like I said, has some issues. And I said, you know, that's, I didn't want to sit down for that reason. I didn't want to get, you know, stiff and have trouble. And so I walked him back and then walked back to the museum, got a couple of things that I had to bring home with me. And then I actually took an Uber home because by the time we were done cleaning up, it was after the time the train was there. It was just before three. And the next one wasn't going to be there until just before five. And I didn't know what I would do for the next 2 hours. Fortunately, I had some credit on Uber and I just took Uber home and it didn't cost me anything. You know, it's usually about $30 to come home from there. It's not too far from 30th Street Station either. It's a few blocks from 30th Street Station, which is the main train station in Philadelphia for Amtrak, as well as the local transport company called SEPTA. So I did that. And it was a lot of fun. It was great to be with everyone again. And people were excited and there was holiday music playing. I guess let's not call it holiday music. It was Christmas music because, you know, there's two Hanukkah songs. You know them. That's by Adam Sandler. although I did see Haim do a cover with new people in it. So that was kind of cool. Thanks to Jane. She sent me a TikTok with, it's three girls. They're from LA, three sisters, H-A-I-M. If you want to see it, find them on TikTok and you can see the song. The other thing I wanted to talk about today was, something that I had talked to, back in October with Jeff Thompson from, Blind Abilities podcast. We were on Blind Abilities for Believe You Can. Jeff wasn't on, but he was recording it. Simon interviewed us. But as I was looking for the button to leave the meeting, I hear somebody say something and I said, oh yeah, you know, and I answered and he said, oh, I didn't know anybody was still here. I said, I'm just looking for the leave meeting button. And so we talked for a while and we were talking about some of the updates in iOS 15 and I actually just downloaded it a few days ago. Probably, I'm recording this on Thursday, the day the episode drops. Probably Monday or Tuesday, maybe. And some of the things are very cool. And the most cool thing, or is that even proper English? Not sure. It's okay. We'll move on. Is when you take a picture in iOS 15, let's say you take a picture of a billboard or you're taking a picture of something and there's a billboard in the background. You could then touch the screen if you have VoiceOver on and it will read to you the words that are on that billboard. Let's say there's a phone number and you want to call that phone number. You can touch that phone number and then dial it. And so the other day when I had updated it, my phone, I had a package came for somebody. I didn't know who because I, you know, can't see the label, but I took a picture and I was going to send it to Jane because I assumed it was for Jane. I don't know why I assumed that. I just did. Well, when I took the picture and then I touched the screen, it then started reading me the label. And I thought, oh, I forgot all about that. You know, I had forgotten, you know, the day before, I guess I had, you know, done the upgrade or that earlier that day. And I had forgotten my conversation with Jeff and it was awesome that all that you have to do is take a picture. And sometimes I took one yesterday to find out we got this bag that was, it seemed like some garment or something was in this bag that was delivered. And I didn't know what it was. I, again, wasn't sure if it was for me or Jacob or Jane or Liz. So I took a picture and I was going to send it over to Liz, and then it had her name on it. And then I did send it to Liz anyway, because I said, you got this today in the mail. And she said, well, it could be something for me from Eddie Bauer, or it could be something, one of Jacob's Christmas presents. So I just thought, man, this is great. And then I started thinking, and I know I've complained about this a lot, because it's horrible. A lot of corporate emails that get sent out, unless it's important, there's text within graphics. And I've complained about it to no end. I know American Express is horrible with it. And some others. Eddie Bauer is bad with it. P.F. Chang's is bad with it. You know, when it's an image and it has text in there, and they don't fill in the alt tags on those images, I have no idea what it says. I have absolutely no idea. And it is so frustrating. So I thought, you know what? I got an email from Honeygrow, and I had actually contacted Honeygrow a year or two ago about their emails, saying they're not accessible. You know, could you just, you know, put something in the alt tag so I know at least what some of it says? You know, you don't have to fill in everything. And they've done that. And it was okay. It wasn't great. At least it told me what was in the image and maybe what was, you know, what some of the wording was. Basically, it was just doing the headlines. If you were looking at a web page, it was just basically the header text and what was in the image, which was great, except sometimes, you know, I could see that there was a lot more writing. I couldn't read the writing because, you know, I can't see that much, but I could see that there was more writing than that. And we got an email the other day from Honeygrow that mentioned a new store opening in a place called Wynwood. But that was the headline. It didn't give me any of the other information. I thought, you know what? I'm going to go back to that email now that I have iOS 15 and see what it says. And sure enough, I drag my finger around and it tells me where on Lancaster Avenue this place is going to be. And it tells me the date that it's going to open. And I thought, man, this is great. This is just outstanding. So I haven't gone into any American Express email yet to check it out, or any of the others for that matter. It's kind of funny. Unless it's an email from somebody that I'm waiting on, or somebody, you know, a friend or, you know, some sort of business associate that I need to look at, I kind of let it go. And, you know, it's been that way since we got Ziggy. I go through on my phone and delete a lot of stuff before I even open it. And, when we got Ziggy, I think I had like 400 unopened emails. I'm up to like 3,300 or so today. I don't know what I think I'm going to do and go back and look at it later. And of course I never do. There are some issues though with iOS 15, at least as far as voiceover concerns. And I can't wait to hear other podcasts that talk about it and talk to other friends who are blind or visually impaired. And I was talking to Lisa earlier today. We were doing some recording for White Canes Connect for our final episode of the year. And, you know, we were talking a little about it. I always dictate my texts, which a lot of times it doesn't get it exactly right. Sometimes it doesn't get it close to being right. Other times it's, you know, pretty close, but most times, you know, that's about as good as it gets. It's very unusual if it gets it completely right. So I've noticed that when I go back to listen to one of those texts that I've dictated, because I then usually the way I send a text, I will dictate it and then listen to it. And if it's really wrong, I will go back and fix it. If it's only a little bit wrong, I'll let it go, especially if it's somebody, it's to a family member or, you know, someone that knows I'm dictating it and it doesn't matter. And they can always ask me what I meant. But the other day, right after I had upgraded or the next day, I'm dictating a text. And I noticed this yesterday still. It wasn't reading the whole text. It was only reading like the last sentence. And I had to then tap it again and tap it again to get it to actually read the whole thing. And, you know, that gets to be a little frustrating when it doesn't do it right away. Another thing that's even more frustrating, I was taking a video of Ziggy. we were outside yesterday, and I mentioned that it's been, now that it's been cooler out, he likes to stay outside longer. And he was doing something in the yard, and I couldn't quite tell, and I went over to see what he was doing, because it looked like he was digging. He likes to dig and eat the dirt. We found another thing he doesn't like, by the way. He does not like green beans. I guess they're in that same sort of snow pea edamame category. But he does not like them. Dirt, he'll eat. Paper, he'll eat. Rocks, he'll eat. But not green beans or edamame or snow peas. So I realized that it was a rock, or it seemed like a rock. I kind of think it's a brick, and I meant to ask Liz. So I picked it up, and I brought it over to, and it was, you know, bigger than a softball. So I brought it over to our patio area, and I put it down, and he just plays with it now when we go out there. He rolls it around with his nose, or he claws at it like he's moving it, like he's nesting or whatever. But I was trying to shoot a video of him doing this, and I could start the video with voiceover on. I could not stop it with voiceover on. Double tap to stop. I was double tapping. Wasn't working. And you know, like they say in Zombieland, you always double tap. Well, when you're blind or visually impaired and you use voiceover, that is also true. You always have to double tap. So I don't know what the story is there. And, you know, I'll have to play around with it more. And I noticed some other things wouldn't work. I was on YouTube. Some things wouldn't work. I couldn't get some other things to not come on or come on with voiceover on. And, you know, sometimes if it was important, I would turn voiceover off and try and guess around where I needed to touch to make it work. And other times, you know, I just, you know, hit pause and just dealt with whatever issue that I had to do. But there were some issues that that I had with that. And so I'll see as time goes on. Again, the image, the text in the images is just so awesome, because that means you don't have to go into another app to hear what it says. You know, same thing goes, I know, once I'm out and about again, and it seems like, you know, with everybody talking the craziness with Corona these days, who knows when that'll be and what's going to go on with everything. don't get me started with that, because there's just some weird stuff in Philadelphia, just some odd things happening. I'm sorry, I got to go to it. They're talking about how bad things are getting with more cases each day. And so they've imposed a mandate that every business has to check. And I guess it's a restaurant, not business. Every restaurant has to check to see if somebody's vaccinated. Okay, I get that. But that doesn't go into effect until January 3rd or January 2nd. January 2nd is Jane's birthday, by the way, if you want to get her something. So how is it going to help if you're going to wait that long? It just seems to me kind of funny. I know, of course, everybody knows why they're waiting until then to do it, because they don't want to screw up the Christmas and New Year's season for these restaurants, because they're going to mess with them. It's going to mess with them, because what do you do if you have a party of four come in and three out of the four can show you a vaccination card, but that last guy or girl can't? Are you going to ask them to leave? Because then you're asking, you're losing the money. You're going to lose money. And everybody knows over the last year and a half to 2 years now, almost 2 years, that businesses, especially restaurants, have suffered greatly. Are you going to tell that person to leave? I know if I had a restaurant, I wouldn't do it. And I'm sure there'd be a fine, and I guess that's what's going to happen. They're going to find these places. And you know, how do you do that? How do you do that and keep a customer? Especially, what if it's a guy or girl that always comes to your place, and you know, now you're going to ask them to leave? They might never come back, and now you've lost not only that night's revenue from that meal, but any kind of future revenue from that person. So it just is ridiculous. Again, with all the stuff going on with Corona, and who knows when I'll be out and about again to, you know, check out some of the other things, because that's one of the things that, like I mentioned a couple of weeks ago when I had the booster, and I was walking around the CVS while I was waiting my 15 minutes, to either make me weirder or not have any effect so that I could leave. Who knows what they would have done there. There wasn't a doctor or a nurse in the place, right? I mean, it was some lady that was, you know, sticking people. anybody could call 911, right? I mean, I could be on the sidewalk out front. They could call 911. But anyway, I'm walking around and I always have my phone out, you know, with one of the apps open, either Envision or Seeing AI. And again, if you've never tried those, Envision is free for, there's a 2-week free trial. You can give that a go, especially if you need a magnifier. Maybe you're not blind or visually impaired, but sometimes you like to look at small things. If you're a coin collector, you need to zoom in. There is a great zoom feature on that is really, really good. Seeing AI is free. It's a Microsoft product that you can download. You should check it out. They don't have the magnifier on it, though. I just walk around with my phone out. Like when I go to the Penn Museum, I walk around with my phone out and, you know, wait for it to say something. And, you know, then I find out what I'm standing near. Obviously, if it's a big, big Sphinx, I can kind of see that there's something there. And, you know, I don't need description of that. I know what it is. I have an idea what the Sphinx look like. It's not the same as the one that's in Egypt. It's smaller. But it's a lot. It weighs a lot. They just had it moved a couple of years ago, and I don't remember what the weight was, but it was very heavy. It would be too big for the end of our driveway. Just know that. I'd be interested to see, as I had mentioned in that episode, I took a picture of all the gingerbread house assortment that they had there, and they had a whole bunch at CVS. And Jane, like I mentioned, loves doing those and has done them every year, probably since she's like 5 or 6 years old. And I sent her a picture of it. You know, now if I took that picture, you know, I'd easily be able to tell what each one is, as opposed to just waving my phone around and maybe missing one or two. You know, now I can just take a picture and just touch on the screen and, you know, tell me what it is. So it'll be interesting to see once I get out and about more on my own, how that works out. But it is very cool. And again, you can turn on VoiceOver Easy if you have an iPhone. Again, you don't have to be blind to do that. It's under the accessibility settings. And once you turn it on, easy to turn off as well. Triple tapping on the lock screen button on the side, on the right side of the phone, assuming you're looking at the screen, if you want to try it, see what VoiceOver is all about. But give it a go. And while I mention that, it's time for
Blind People for Dummies Tip of the Week.
Man, still quality, right? This week is a funny one. Because we can't see, it doesn't mean we can't hear. I mean, I guess in some people they can't hear, but you don't need to shout when you're trying to tell me what a sign says or a elevator button says. You just have to tell me, hey, that says that's the subway or that's the outdoor or whatever. Please don't shout. I don't need to. I don't need to be shouted at. Just like when you shout at somebody that doesn't know English, it doesn't help them understand it any better. I can understand it when you speak in a normal tone. Do you know, and I think I've mentioned this once before, someone once said to me when I had asked for something, it was a vendor from a distributor that we used in Salon Supplies and Interiors. They had said to me when I asked for an electronic version of a catalog because my computer could read it to me, and I said that I was blind, or I might have said legally blind, whatever. I can't see. I say it a different way when I'm not recording something that I mark as clean. But she said to me, wow, you don't sound blind. And I didn't say anything. I said, well, yeah, I am. And I don't know what a blind person sounds like, but I thought we all sounded the same as sighted folks. Maybe she has a different definition of blind. I don't know. Do you think I can get a sponsor for that segment, Blind People for Dummies Tip of the Week? Let me know. And let me know what you think of episodes, show ideas, whatever you got for me. Please reach out. 646-926-6350. You've got up to 3 minutes. I will play just about anything you say, unless it's just junk and not audible words. And again, it doesn't even have to be in English. I'll probably play, it. But don't shout, because, you know, people will be able to hear it no matter what, unless you have a bad connection. So again, 646-926-6350. Please reach out if you've got any ideas, comments, questions, whatever. Please reach out. You can also reach out via email, icantseeyoupodcast@gmail.com. And same thing, questions, comments, show ideas, anything you want to reach me at, please reach out. And or of course, you can also reach me on socials at David Benj, just about everywhere. And show notes for this episode will be at icantseeyou.com/158. Remember, I can't see you sounds like a whole sentence. It is only 7 characters long. icantseeyou.com/158 is where you can find it. And I have to just mention this before I go. I type it with a lowercase I, a capital C, lowercase a, a lowercase n, lowercase t, capital C, capital U. Now, why do I do it that way? When you type it in all lowercase, it says, I can coo. Or I can't coo, I guess it says. I can't coo. But a screen reader reads it as, I can't see you, when you capitalize those letters that I mentioned. And that's why I type it that way. I actually originally just typed a capital C after the lowercase I, kind of make it look like, you know, iPhone, iPad, iMac, you know, kind of went along those lines. And that's why the characters are very similar to the text that Apple uses, because I was using that idea. Not that I'm anything close to like Apple. So I do appreciate you listening to this episode. Again, it's episode 158 of the I Can't See You podcast. Thank you so much. Please, if you're shopping at Amazon, icantseeyou.com/Amazon. I really do appreciate that. Earn a small commission when you buy stuff there. And it doesn't have to be the holiday season. Anytime you have to go to Amazon, please use that link. And again, I'll earn a small commission. And again, I hope things are going well for you. I have one more episode before Christmas, but I hope you're having a great holiday season up to now. I hope you're staying safe, you're well, and I will talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the I Can't See You podcast with David. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. And don't forget to share the podcast with your friends.